This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
Well, let's get into the mailbag, everybody. On this Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024, we'll get through as many as we can here, maybe an hour or less. As always, I can't promise that those who aren't patrons get on the show, but if you are a patron, we'll get you on the show for sure and get your email read. Voicemails are questionable. That obviously is with WrestleMania week. There's a lot of submissions, a lot of voicemails. So we're going to do the best we can. I mean, that's all I can say. But I would like to welcome some new patrons. Jay Martinez, Big Time Blaze Bishop. Thank you so much, guys. I hope you enjoy your free trials, and maybe you'll end up staying with us. Alrighty, well, with just a few days until WrestleMania, let's see what your predictions are, your thoughts, all of your projections as we get towards WrestleMania. And let's start with, Kyle. Let's start with Kyle. He says, welcome to WrestleMania 40 week. Go to the predictions here. And these are doing, you're going to do this by giving us your leaked order match order. And the first off, WrestleMania Saturday, Rhea Ripley retains the women's world title against Becky Lynch. You think that Awesome Truth is going to win the Undisputed Tag titles from Damian Priest and Finn Balor. New Day, Austin Theory, and Grayson Waller in the New Catch Republic in the ladder match. I'm not sure which one you mean. But anyway, so you think Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee are going to defeat Santos and Dominic in the tag team match. Jey Uso defeats Jimmy. And there's a small tease of Jimmy wanting to rejoin Jey and leaving the bloodline. Next, you think Bianca, Naomi, and Jade Cargill are going to defeat the Damage Control in the six-woman tag team match. Sammy wins the IC title from Gunther. Chad Gable comes out to celebrate with Sammy. And then next Monday on Raw, Chad takes the credit for Sammy winning and wants the first title shot. And finally, pun intended, the main event. Drew McIntyre interferes. Roman and Rock defeat Cody and Seth to make the night two main event a Bloodline Rules match. So, okay. It's hard for me to comment on this other than to say okay, because I don't want to give away my predictions for the show we're doing in a day or two. So, all right, WrestleMania Sunday. First off, I think throughout this match, Seth will be in a lot of pain from night one, and Drew wins the world title from Seth. After Seth puts out a handshake, Drew low blows him and beats him up to stop getting involved in the main event, and also writing him off TV to take some well-earned time off. I like that. I think, honestly, we could definitely use a Seth Rollins break. I think that would be very beneficial for him. CM Punk on commentary stares down Drew with a, once I'm cleared, I'm coming for you in that title kind of look. Next, Bobby and the Street Profits defeat Karrion Kross and AOP. And because the Final Testament have dominated a lot more of this feud, LA Knight beats AJ Styles in the grudge match. And it makes AJ go mad and attack Knight, making this a multi-match program and a rematch set up for Backlash. Next, Logan Paul retains. You think Kevin gets pinned, but not Randy. This will set up a title match at Backlash. At first, it's just Cody and Roman, but then after about 10 minutes or so, Rock, Solo, and Jimmy start getting involved. Cody has the odds stacked against him. Seth is too hurt to come out. And then the glass shatters. Stone Cold comes out. He's brawling with the Rock. Then Jey Uso comes out, starts brawling with Jimmy. Solo is attacking Cody, giving him a Samoan spike. And then John Cena's here. John Cena gets his vengeance on Solo from Crown Jewel last year and beats him up. And then Cody gives Roman three crossroads and goes for the pin. One, two, three. You know, that's something that I think we should think about is how many crossroads is Cody going to have to hit in a row to beat Roman? Last year, I can't tell you how many. And your finish can't be that powerful if you have no faith in it that one can't put your opponent down. That you have to, by choice, do three in a row. On top of the fact that the crossroads looks exceptionally weak and you are clearly the one taking the bump, not your opponent. I mean, it's not just Cody Rhodes, the babyface character I despise. I don't care who this is, who's doing this maneuver. It looks awful. I kind of felt the same way about Sister Abigail with Bray Wyatt, too. But that's another story. As far as John Cena goes, the thing is, Stone Cold's the bigger star here. You want Stone Cold to be the guy that comes out at the end, the very last guy that, you know, you want to save the best for last. And Steve Austin would get a bigger reaction than John Cena would. And that's saying something. But I think that that's a strong prediction, Kyle. And let's see. Cody wins and ends Roman's reign. And after Cody celebrates, I don't think we get a Roman and Rock breaking up yet. I think it will be more tease when Rock returns from his upcoming movie. But after this match, Jimmy Uso shocks everyone. He tells Roman, Solo, and Rock he loves all three of them, but he's sorry Jay is his brother and refuses to leave his side ever again. Thanks, Kyle. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, I feel like, these similar predictions coming. But let's get to more of them as we go to, let's see, another patron. And this is Thomas Franco. I haven't heard from him in a while. He says, it's been a while, been a long time since I last wrote in. But I feel like I couldn't miss out on writing this week during the biggest week in the world of wrestling. I find the build of WrestleMania this year 10 times more intriguing than last year's when we had Vince still in charge. I'm super excited for the tag match with Cody and Seth, Rock and Roman, and the world title match between Seth and Drew, the two mid-card title matches, and the six-pack ladder match for the tag titles, to name a few. The more the time passes, the more I think that whatever the outcome on night one, Roman is going to retain on night two. I just think WWE believes that Hogan's record is an important milestone for Roman to beat, and the Bloodline story is still drawing great numbers. I'd love to see a world where Cody wins because I've seen what a Roman title reign looks like, and I think it's time for a change. The Rock versus Cody for the title at SummerSlam can happen, and we can start building for Rock and Roman at next year's WrestleMania, and from there, since it doesn't need the title involved. Also looking forward to seeing all the cool entrances for the wrestlers and any surprise debuts and returns. That's all for me. Keep up the great work as always and the best podcast in the wrestling space. Thanks, Thomas. So there's a lot here, I mean, that I could dive into. I think with the interest of time here and getting through emails, I won't, but I'll pick a couple of things. As far as the build, yes, I would agree. It is much more intriguing this year. Some of it has to do with Vince. Some of it has to just do with the talent and how far a lot of the talent have come. Now, is prediction that it's going to be Rock and Cody for the title at SummerSlam after Cody wins, I think there could be something to that because WWE has stumbled on this heel Rock character that I think is more successful and more fun than anyone expected it to be. And I wouldn't switch back to the typical Dwayne Johnson playing the Rock character yet. This is a much more fun, vicious, invested Rock than that typical Rock we've gotten over the years of him popping in and out. So do they want to turn Rock babyface right away? I mean, maybe, maybe not. I personally wouldn't because there's something they have here. And sure, Rock's filming a movie, so for a few months he won't be here. That's okay. But it feels like the Rock should be on SmackDown every week now. And it feels like when he's not, there's a big hole that's left. That's how quickly the Rock has just slid back into the product and felt like he belonged right away. It's amazing. But Rock and Cody at SummerSlam, why not? I mean, I'm okay if they keep the Rock heel through that point. Here's what I don't want. I don't want a heel Rock versus a babyface Roman at next year's WrestleMania. There should be no title, and it should be simply Rock versus Roman, the match we were supposed to get this year, except it's just a year later, with the heel being Roman. End of story. You know, I wouldn't mess around with it. All right. Thank you so much, Thomas. Next email, and I don't see a ton of emails, but let's go to Matt Brown. He says, I'm listening to your Raw review talking about the Judgment Day's lack of communication being a part of why they break up. Do you think a failed cash-in by Priest because he didn't talk it over with the group will finally be what really breaks them up? Also, when Sammy said he was afraid, is from Rocky 3 when Rocky is on the beach with Apollo and his wife, Adrian. At least that's how I took it since Rocky is from Philly. That's a good analogy. Here's a sad piece of truth from my life. I've never seen the Rocky movies. I know a lot of you just said to yourself, what? How? I know what Rocky is. I've seen scenes. I know what it is. I understand the premise. okay? But I've never, ever watched them through, ever. So it's not that I don't want to. I just never got the motivation to. And there's a lot of other movies, too, like the Lord of the Rings. I know what it is. I know, like, the famous lines. I know enough to make you pretend I've seen them if you've never met me. But I have never, ever seen Lord of the Rings all the way through. I've never seen Star Wars. And let's see if anything else I can say that'll shock you into oblivion. That pretty much covers the really bad ones that you just are going to be shocked to learn I've never seen all the way through, or even like more than half an hour at a time. I fell asleep during Lord of the Rings. It's too damn long. And I've seen Harry Potter. Okay, there you go. Does that make it better? Does that make it worse? I've seen all the Harry Potter movies. I love them all. So maybe I just made it worse. But as far as your Rocky III analogy, that's probably right versus my analogy. But you're right. The failed cash-in is a very real possibility. It's a very real possibility. And in fact, that could be the straw that breaks the camel's back for the Judgment Day. I think that's a good call. P.S. I will be in attendance for SmackDown, the Hall of Fame, both nights of Mania, Raw after Mania, and would love to talk to you if after the events. Have a great rest of your weekend. Enjoy WrestleMania. I appreciate that, Matt. I mean, here's the thing. I've got so many people asking me to do that. I will just say this. How about you can choose whether you want to send in a voicemail giving us quick notes, or you want to just bullet point some of your in-person perspectives and things that you want to make sure that people know about when you attend the event that you'd think you would find interesting for listeners. So how about that? Simply because I don't have the time. I've already got a co-host lined up for almost every single show moving forward. So it's nearly impossible. It is. But I'm jealous. You have a hell of a wrestling week coming up. Good for you. All right. Let's get to another patron, Nick from Eugene. He says, happy Mania week. With the mailbag undoubtedly flooded with predictions, I'm going to swerve. All right. Let's do it. First, I'm loving the idea of a faction developing between Naomi, Bianca, and Jade. I fear it will be short-lived, but perhaps they get a good run, building to the inevitable Jade heel turn to set up Bianca versus Jade at WrestleMania 41. It's a good point. Yeah, that's a very temporary tag team. Certainly, they're not meant to be a faction of any kind. They are three single stars that don't get anything out of being together, other than just to have WWE be able to say, oh, look, for the first time ever, three black women are in a six-woman tag team match and are victorious at WrestleMania. Look, fine. Yeah, I know what they're trying to do there. And you're like, hey, it's cool. But to me, I'm looking at merit. I'm looking at accomplishments. I'm looking at resume. While, some people look at it as, oh, my God, the skin color, isn't that cool? It's like, I honestly, I'm not blind. I'm not going to pretend I don't see it. But it's not the focal point for me. I don't care if they're all green. I don't care if they're all gray. I mean, just to me, it's how good are you? What's your focus? What's your mission? How can I connect with you as a character? Yeah, but I know why they're doing it. Anyway, I would agree. They're not meant to be together as a long-term team. Okay, with nearly every faction in the company running off the same formula of 3 to 4 men and one token woman, how about we infuse some of the reverse? Wouldn't it be fun to see Montez Ford join up with three women in a faction? How about Maxine Dupri, Tiffy Time, and Chelsea Green with a little Otis arm candy? I like that. That would change things up. I really like. Here's the problem, though. What are they going to do? Because the reason that they do it, one of, not all of them, but I think the reason that they have the token woman is because they're able to inflict a punishment on the men while the men can't retaliate and the men will protect the woman. While if a man is in a woman's group, the women are fighting with other women and the men can't do anything physically to the women because, well, they're women and they have an invisible shield around them. So I think that's why they don't do it. Second, I watched the heart-wrenching Bray Wyatt documentary. My best friend died abruptly of a heart attack late last year, so the family dealing with the fallout of Wyndham's death really hit home. Very tough stuff. It did leave me yearning for the possibility of Bo Dallas coming back as either Uncle Howdy or the final version of the Fiend that they created. I hope he is able to embrace the latter. I hope fans get on board. I hope a returning Alexa Bliss joins him, maybe with Braun Strowman too. That's kind of my early thoughts are that they'll pay tribute to Bray at some point during the show, with his brother coming out to his entrance music, holding the lantern, maybe in the Fiend mask, and paying tribute to Bray, Wyndham Rotunda. So I think that's a very real possibility at WrestleMania, and one that I think would be done in good taste. But as far as a real faction goes with Alexa and Braun, yeah, they could. Here's what I don't want them to do. I don't want them to constantly talk about Bray. I want them to have their own identity, but built on the foundation of Bray's ideas and Bray's mission. Because I think a lot of times, like with Eddie Guerrero, look, he was an amazing wrestler, one that I think is underappreciated. And we really didn't realize how good he was until he left. But there are so many people who use the Eddie Guerrero shimmy and the lie, cheating, and stealing type of personality, and the three amigos, the three suplexes, and the announcers telling us, oh, well, Selena Vega is here only because, or no, Sasha Banks is here because her hero, Eddie Guerrero, inspired her. And like, you know, there's too many people trying to live off the legacy of Eddie Guerrero. I think it's getting a little bit much given it's been nearly 20 years, which is crazy. All right. Third, I can't avoid one prediction. Rock is going to get Mama Rhodes' tears on the weight belt on Sunday night. I should say Cody is. He'll wipe her cheek as they celebrate his victory, rub them on the belt, and throw it in Dwayne's face. As much as I hate the current version of Cody, I'm all in on him finally getting the belt off of Roman and WWE moving to the next into the next decade. I mean, that's how a lot of fans feel. And here's what I put this out on Twitter, and it was a serious question. I said, you know, what if Cody loses? What if? A lot of people are threatening that, you know, the city's going to burn, right? Like Philadelphia is going to burn down. There'll be the riots will ensue. I really do. You know, if all that chaos, and I'm sure people are being just overdramatic and not serious, but isn't it more interesting? You can't even if you are the most hardcore Cody fan and you just live and die by every word he says, you can't deny that a Cody loss would be infinitely more interesting than a Cody victory. Not to say Cody's victory, a victory in stopping the streak and Roman's title is over and all that, his title reign's over. That is, sure, it's a moment and it's a fun moment. It's one we all expect, heavily expect. And it will be a fun, heartwarming finish to the story, blah, blah, right? But you can't tell me that people wouldn't be more intrigued by, oh my God, Cody lost. Are you effing kidding me? I actually think that would get people talking more. And I think it would actually increase viewership. While people are saying the opposite, you know why it wouldn't be the opposite? Because people would lose their minds and want to see what WWE does. It wouldn't stop people from watching the product. I think it would have the opposite effect. So to me, the more interesting, although very unlikely, scenario is Cody losing again. I mean, just think about it. Think about it. It'd be amazing. It would be amazing. I mean, my jaw would be on the floor because I would love to. It would be like the equivalent of The Undertaker's streak ending at WrestleMania 30. No music. It would just be that kind of dead silence, people's jaws on the floor. Like there'd be booing, but just more shock, I think. It's widely expected that Cody wins here. But boy, oh boy, it's got me so intrigued. Thanks, Nick. Okay, let's talk to another patron. This is Hungry Pup. Thank you. You love my show. I appreciate it. Go easy on Pharaoh. It's impartial to pups. Hey, look, I'm also not really a dog person. Okay, I know a lot of you, like, I don't actively dislike dogs. But when people call dogs their children, I think you've gone too far. Oh, he's like my child. No, you're just a caretaker of the dog, right? Like, children mean that they are born and bred from you, or you have adopted them as human beings. Dogs are neither. You adopt dogs, but they're not human beings. And children are a little bit, actual human being children, are a little bit more complicated to take care of than a dog. Okay, but now I just angered all the dog lovers out there. Again, I don't hate dogs. I'm just not like, I don't seek them out and go, oh my God. I don't. That's another story for another day. However, I have nothing against Pharaoh. I have something against Cody bringing Pharaoh. See, that's the thing. I'm not attacking Pharaoh. I'm attacking Cody's character for being such a dork and like a little girl. Again, I will break it down. This is the best way and the best just simplified, condensed reason why I don't like Cody's character. He's a feminine man. like, you know, and it's not to say, oh, masculine, toxic masculinity, all that. No. First of all, masculinity is inherently not toxic. You can have toxic people. You can have toxic femininity. You can have toxic anything if it's not the right flavor or the right, if people's personality traits are toxic. But being a dominant, just man's man, I know has been vilified in today's society, but I think there's actually a lack of it. Everything's been feminized in a lot of ways, and I think Cody's character has been feminized. Whether he realizes it or not, he's a soft, smiley, manicured, hair is just so, bright white teeth, suit on, bringing his dog with a stupid handkerchief. I'm not surprised he didn't bring a man purse and have a chihuahua inside of it. Maybe carry a Starbucks cup while he's at it and head to Target on Saturday instead of WrestleMania. I mean, he'd fit right in. So that's generally why I hate it. I don't like his character is because he's a feminine, soft man. Sorry, don't relate to that. Not to say that I laugh or look down upon people who have emotions, but when you're talking about pro wrestling, it's weak sauce, dude. So anyway, let's move on. I'm going off the deep end. I'm loving the Sami Zayn program, and I'm from Philly, and I'm feeling the Rocky vibes. Love that Gable is his coach. Fingers crossed, Sami Zayn wins and becomes IC champ. Then Gable turns heel and faces him next. Yeah, I'm strongly on that side as well. I think that's very, very likely, and I'd love it. I mean, look at the match that Gable and Sami Zayn had at the end of the Gauntlet match a few weeks ago. Incredible. Incredible. Not loving The Rock and all the language. It's hard to watch with my 9-year-old son. The blood in Mama Rhodes is kind of lame. We hope Cody and Seth beat him down, but doubt it. Last point, Ricochet's killing it. More Ricochet, less Pete Dunne. I have nothing against that either. Look, I don't love Pete Dunne. I also don't love Ricochet. I know Ricochet probably for most people, especially younger, like if you have a 9-year-old son, I'm sure maybe, I'm guessing, gravitates towards Ricochet. He's very flashy. He's very fun to watch. But he's very shallow character-wise, so that's where I think for me it's a disconnect. But your 9-year-old son, yeah, I would agree. That's got to be tough because you see The Rock come on, and he's doing brilliant things, but the language, he's really TV-14 Rock on a TV-PG product. He's being given special privileges, which I actually don't care about, and I know the talent are angry about it because he's being given all these special privileges that they don't have. To me, it's a whole bunch of wah, wah, wah. But when you're that big of a star, too bad, you get to just call your shots, and that's just the way it goes. I have nothing bad to say about that. But if you have a younger child watching with you, I absolutely understand why it's uncomfortable. You have to just kind of turn the volume down, and you don't want to. And that, I would agree with that. See, that's the drawback of the Rock character doing that, is you have to kind of shield your kids from some of the language and the actions that he's doing, because it's not PG. You know, so that's true. So thank you, Hungry Pup. Thank you for becoming a patron. Let's talk to another patron. Let's go to Anthony Capella. He says, good morning from California. This should be fun. Less than a week away from Mania, and I still can't wait for Saturday. The Rock's heel presence just looms so large. The Attitude Era was really something to behold. Seeing the random post about the days of Roman's run having me ask, why him? How did Rock or Austin not make their way into the top 5 runs of all time? Even now, Roman just looks like the brother carrying his toy belt from Walmart when he's next to The Rock. That being said, these are WWE history-making moments. We'll see pics and vids from this year's previous year and years to come in promos and commercials. I think they've mishandled Bayley's Royal Rumble win and her Mania match, that they should have just had the beatdowns from Damage Control closer to Mania to make them more impactful. So I'll pause there. So I know that you're saying that Rock or Austin, how did they make their way into the top 5? To me, it's about the impact of the run. What did the run mean? What did you do while you were on your run? What was what was the scene like? What was the environment like? Who did you work with? Had you headline pay-per-views? You know, like, to me, it's not necessarily the length. I mean, I'm not all about a one-day title reign like Kane back in 1999. After he beat Austin at King of the Ring. But I also, was it 98? 98. I also understand that, you know, when you're looking at all-time greatest title reigns, to some people, length of the title run is the determining factor of how great it is. But again, I don't think that anyone would deny that Stone Cold Steve Austin still had a bigger impact than The Rock had a bigger, larger, more wide ranging impact on the business than did Roman Reigns. Now, Roman Reigns in his own right has really done an amazing job in his transformation from the big dog to the tribal chief. But I think overall, The Rock and Austin single-handedly have transformed the business, where Roman Reigns, I don't know if he's transformed it, he's certainly been the face of it, though. So greatness shouldn't be measured by number of days, in my mind. A lot of it is intangibles. It's, you can't put a number, or you can't measure it. You just feel it and you know it. But, all right, as far as the damage control stuff, let's continue. Let's see. Damage control is going to get demolished this weekend. Three mid-sized ladies going against three physical monsters in Bianca, Jade, Naomi. Good luck. Yeah, definitely. I mean, if anyone thinks that Jade Cargill's taking the pinfall on Saturday night, I mean, you haven't watched pro wrestling more than 10 minutes. But I do agree that the Royal Rumble win for Bayley has been kind of lost in translation here, and I feel bad for her. But they can make up for it in having a kick-ass match on, was it Sunday? I think they're on Sunday. Yeah, WrestleMania Sunday is the women's WWE Championship match. So, okay, I'm still reserving the judgment on Jade. Will she be all show and no go? If she ends up being just on some pics on social media and can't wrestle, fans will suss that out pretty fast. Becky has improved, but the whole daughter thing is stupid. How many wrestlers have kids and haven't met grandparents and yada yada? She can say whatever she wants about Rhea and her bum, but still doesn't change the fact that her character is stale as F, and after this program with Rhea, she'll struggle again. She should focus on her character instead of Rhea's bum. I hope we all hear the glass shatter at some point this weekend. Only 1 month till my free mug. Keep up the good work. Thank you for everything you say, lackeys. Till next time. yeah, thanks, Anthony. Okay. So you're comparing me to Rush Limbaugh. Got it. Now, let me just say, Rhea Ripley doing the bum thing. Rhea, even here's the one thing that I continue to say, but I'll say it because it's true. I'm not going to go on a diatribe about Rhea Ripley and her outfits. Okay, I've already done that. But I will say that when anybody does something that's on a house show, non-televised, they know very well that everyone in the audience has a camera in their pocket. Everyone has a high definition camera in their pocket, and anything they do at a house show like that will be posted all over social media. So it is kind of a de facto televised event, because it's going to be seen by millions of people, even if it's not televised, because of the fans in attendance that'll post it. And so she knowing that, she knew what she did would be posted everywhere. But when something like that is done, you know what the effect is going to be. It's going to be the attention's on you. But then we're supposed to be punished for noticing. See, it's the crime of noticing these things. When something like this happens, we're all supposed to just either ignore it, pretend it didn't happen, or just quickly acknowledge it and move on. And it's just silliness and that's it. And to a lot of people, it is. But, again, the sin of noticing today is one of the biggest sins you can commit. I mean, like truth. There's a lot of truth that's being kind of warped in our world, and when you speak the truth, suddenly you're the enemy. Truth is under attack. I'll stop there because I'm going off the rails. But Rhea, I will give you that Becky Lynch's character has been in a bit of a stale bread type of pattern for a while. Now she's been over the last several months slowly climbing out of that hole. But she's not out of it. Well, the only way to get her out of it is to not give her the title, but to give her something different. I don't know if turning her heel again is the right move, but I also don't know what the solution is. I really don't. Becky's gotten into this comfort zone of her character, and the fans feel it, and it is stale, but the crowd still reacts positively to her. It's going to be interesting to hear the crowd on Sunday. Or Saturday, whenever they're, I think Saturday, right? So, all right, let's continue. Let's go to Dino, another patron. He says, hey, Matt, it's D from Glasgow. All right, let's go. Your email's not too long, so we'll rock it through here. I noticed that you do that. I noticed you do that really annoying thing that Michael Cole used to do and incorrectly pronounce the name of the city. It's not Glasgow. It's pronounced Glasgow. Oh, whoops. Well, see, there you go. Well, I will say phonetically, it's looks like it could be Glasgow. Okay, Glasgow. Glasgow. Got it. Glasgow. I felt that I needed to point that out. Well, thank you. It's like when people say Albany. You know, I'm from Albany, New York, but people say Albany. That's how you know they're not from here. No one in the world. No, there's nobody that lives here that says Albany. It's Albany. And I hear even the announcers sometimes make that, you know, it's annoying, right? Okay. Breaking news just coming in. On Friday, June 14th, SmackDown will be live in the OVO Hydro, previously the SSE Hydro. And then Saturday, June 15th, Scotland gets its first ever PLE. I got super hyped that immediately realized Friday, June 14th. That's the same night Scotland plays Germany in the opening game of the Euro 2024. I don't know what that is. Is that soccer? Or to you guys, what is that? Is that soccer? I'm guessing it's soccer because that's the only sport that really matters in Europe, I guess. So I'm guessing it's some kind of soccer tournament. Sorry, in the United States, soccer is like not even in the top five sports here. No one here watches soccer. Like, really, no one. So when I hear people talk about soccer, other than the FIFA World Cup, all of a sudden everyone becomes patriotic and wants the United States to win. And then when their country's kicked out of the tournament, they try to burn their country down again, right? But suddenly, during the tournament, everyone's on their country's side. It's funny. Okay. So I'll need to record SmackDown and watch it later that night. Now, I don't want to be salty about it, but they must not have a clue of how big of a game this is for Scotland. No one's going to SmackDown over our first game in the Euros. The game is at 8 p.m. kickoff on that Friday, so they'd be wise to move the event by a week if they really have a brain, and also because the majority of Scotland will be hungover on the Saturday too. We know we probably won't get Roman, and we won't get The Rock either, which is really disappointing. Anyway, I've signed up for the pre-sale, so let's hope I'm lucky enough to get my hands on a ticket, and hopefully I'll be in attendance the Saturday night. Either way, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, they clearly have no clue. I mean, either they don't have a clue or don't care that there's a soccer game going on. They're not really understanding how much of a big deal it is for you guys. And or they're just saying, screw it. If they really want to go, we'll go. It's an overseas show, and they'll go because they know if they don't, they're not going to have an opportunity for a few years. I still think that even though it's a big game, you guys will probably still sell out. There'll be enough people who will still go. I mean, just based on WWE's confidence, and every time they go overseas, you guys are crazy. You guys are you make the United States crowd just look like children in comparison. You embarrass us straight out. Okay. Is there any update on the change about pay-per-view preview prediction shows? I remember last year that you mentioned that the preview prediction shows were the only going to be available for those on the SmackDown level above. Wondering if this is the plan so I can come in time for that coming into effect. No. So I know I mentioned that at one point that, the preview and prediction shows are only going to be for SmackDown and above. No, I'm still going to keep it for all patrons. Right now, our exclusive shows for the SmackDown tier and above is the After Dark shows that we produce once a week. But there will be more shows coming up that are exclusive to higher tiers. We're working on that, but I think the preview shows and the pay-per-view shows and those are the ones that are in really high demand, I think we'd be shooting ourselves in the foot to not allow everyone to listen to those. So for now, the plan is to keep those for all patrons. So one last thing. My prediction is that Roman walks out of Mania with the championship, and I'm going to kick back and enjoy all the reaction online afterwards. A bold, brave prediction, some might say. But I guess we only have to wait a few more days to find out. That is a hell of a prediction, my friend Dino. One that I don't think you're right about, but I, as you heard me a few minutes ago, I would love to see that much more than a Cody victory for so many reasons. But I just don't think it's in the cards, even though it would be beautiful to watch, would it not? Okay, let's move on here. Let's go to another patron, Kaiser. Let's go. It says, hey, Matt, hope all's well. I'll be heading to Philly this Friday with my mom for Mania. Super excited. We leave Friday afternoon from London and get to Philly in the later afternoon. So if timing works out, we'll probably get a last-minute ticket for the SmackDown Hall of Fame show. That would be cool to see. Man, you guys are making me so jealous. Anyway, well, safe flights, safe travels, safe flight. Anyway, just wanted to ask a quick thought on the whole Cody Roman Rock saga and whether or not it was truly a work in the first place or not. Initially, my assumption was that Cody giving up his spot to The Rock was genuine, a genuine plan moving forward, and that WWE thought the crowd would be so excited for the Rock-Roman match they would accept Cody giving up his spot. Then, with the backlash that followed, they decided to scrap that by turning Rock heel and going back to the Cody-Roman match. So this is a... Oh, let me continue, and then I'll give you my thoughts. So you said your opinion's starting to change. I'm starting to think this may have been the plan all along, that they knew there would be massive outrage from the fans when Cody gave up his spot. My reasons for this are how they focused the camera on Cody's sad face when they gave up the main event spot rather than having him look happy with the situation, and how easily The Rock took Cody's spot from him. Surely if WWE wanted no backlash, they would have found a way for Rock to take Cody's spot in a way that maybe would have had him more endearing to the fans. I'm not sure exactly how. Maybe Cody getting beat down and The Rock thinking that maybe he would have had more, maybe would have been more endearing to the fans. Maybe Cody getting beat down and The Rock makes the save. Even with the backlash online, WWE themselves could have kick-started the We Want Cody movement. All it takes is getting a couple hundred people with the hashtag going online before it spreads. Anyway, just wanted to get your thoughts on this. Either way, it's been an amazing road to Mania, and getting a heel Rock has been incredible, whether it was the plan all along or not. Looking forward to Mania. Would love to let you know about it in my next mailbag. Thanks, Kaiser. This has been a topic of conversation, you know, especially a month or two ago when this whole thing went to hell in a handbasket, in a good way. I don't think this was the plan. I really don't, because here's the thing. They tested the waters when The Rock, if you remember, came back on Raw January 1st, and he said that he wants to go to a bar and sit in a booth, or maybe he should sit at the head of the table. Remember that? And the crowd went crazy. That was a litmus test. Everyone cheered. Everyone cheered. Until they realized, wait, whoa, 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 wait a sec. Cody just won the Rumble. Rock said he wants Roman. We've been waiting for Cody to finish his story. He got screwed last year. He's been on a two-year journey since returning at WrestleMania 38 and declaring that's what he wants to do, is win the belt for his daddy. We want Cody. They can try to claim ownership of the movement. They can try to claim and pretend to me that that wasn't their plan. That would be a very roundabout way and risky, unnecessarily risky way to get to Cody, a Rock being booed by the fans. I mean, the fact that the fans were talking and have been asking for Rock Roman for so long, and then have the fans, by design of WWE's, by design from WWE, to get the fans to turn on Rock, I don't think they're that smart. I just don't. I don't think they're that clever. I don't have the faith in them to do that. And it's no slight on Triple H. The reason I'm saying this is I don't think they would want to do something like that. That wasn't their mission. They just had Cody be the nice guy and step aside. Did they? I mean, that's what his character is about. And yeah, he looks sad, but I think he genuinely was. What's he supposed to do? I mean, you know, he just had his WrestleMania spot taken from him, of course, voluntarily, like a fool. And then, you know, the fans are like, what the hell? And you know, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. He won the Rumble. And it all makes sense. So, no, I don't think it was by design. But ultimately, does it even matter? You know what I mean? Like, does it even really matter? We're getting an amazing version of The Rock. This is a better version than I could have ever hoped for. So, thank you so much, Kaiser. Safe travels. Okay. Boy, oh boy. Let's go to DJ Kuzmo. Let's go to your predictions. He says, it's here, WrestleMania 40. And before you get carried away, I must mention for the 1 millionth time we miss. Yes, I know. You miss Mr. and Mrs. Casual Wrestling Fan. I told you, I have no clue where they are. They fell off the face of the earth. And that's the honest truth. It's the God's honest truth. I've reached out, like I told you, a couple months ago, but I don't want to keep, you know, messaging them like a, you know, a crazy ex-boyfriend or girlfriend. So they're always welcome to come back. If you're listening, guys, you know, you have a spot here anytime you want it, but I have not heard from them. There's no bad blood. They just fell off the face of the earth. I think they had life happen to them, and I understand, but I agree. We want them back too. I totally agree. All right, here are your predictions and zero potential spoilers. You're going to get Jade, Bianca, and Naomi winning. Awesome Truth winning the Undisputed Tag Titles. Rey and Dragon Lee win against Santos and Dirty Dom. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, a.k.a. The Pride, will win in the six-man Philly Street Fight tag team match. We have LA Knight beating AJ Styles. Jey Uso beats Jimmy Uso. Gunther retains the IC title. Logan Paul retains the U.S. title. Rhea Ripley retains the women's title. And Bayley wins the WWE Women's Championship. Wow. A lot of retentions. Three retentions and one title change, according to you, on night one. Now, or not night one. That's not all night one. But so far. Now, here we go. Here's the last two. You think that Seth is going to retain, but something else happens after the match. Okay. Your prediction is Cody and Seth will win the tag team match with the help from, I don't know. you added emojis. I don't know what the emojis mean. Last and certainly not least, your prediction is Roman Reigns retains. Really? Okay, DJ, your bold prediction. You're thinking that Roman Reigns retains. It doesn't seem likely. But, okay, DJ Kuzmo signing off. Enjoy NXT Stand and Deliver. WrestleMania, night one, night two. Have a great weekend. See y'all in the Discord chat. Yes, everybody, if you want to go to the Discord chat and you want to become a patron, thank you for the plug there, DJ. You transitioned that nicely. If you are a patron, you get priority placement in the show. You guarantee yourself a spot in the mailbag. And you have a Discord server chat area where you can talk with all the other patrons throughout WrestleMania. And right now there is a 1 week free trial available on Patreon. So you can get everything for free for a week and then just bail and not pay a dime. Or you can also join us on Apple Podcasts for a week for free. No better time than to go, like right now is the best time to get everything for free, ad free. And I think it's a really, it's no risk to you whatsoever. So no cost, nothing. All right. Thank you, DJ. Let's talk to Charlie. He says, what's up, y'all? What's up, all you fellas and lady fellows on this good old planet Earth? Charlie from Milwaukee. All right. Here are your predictions, Charlie. Night one, Miz and R-Truth win the Raw tag. Well, they're not Raw. They're the Undisputed Tag Titles. While Judgment Day wins the SmackDown Tag Titles. So you're thinking they're going to split it? I don't think so. I mean, to me, while they haven't actually created a physical unification of the two belts, which is just stupid, to go back to two tag team titles where they can't even manage one very well, I think is not a good idea, but not impossible. Number two, Gunther beats Sammy to retain the IC title with Sami Zayn's heel turn on Chad after the match. Jay beats Jimmy with Rikishi announced before the match starts as a special guest referee. Dragon Lee pins Dominic Mysterio, giving him and Rey the win. Jade Cargill and Bianca Naomi beat Damage Control with Jade pinning Dakota Kai. Okay, you're getting to specifics here. Okay, fair. Rhea Ripley beats Becky to retain the Women's Championship. Hopefully this leads to Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley at the main event of WrestleMania 41. The Rock and Roman beat Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. And then night two, LA Knight beats AJ. The Final Testament beat Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. Bayley beats Io. Drew McIntyre beats Seth to become our new world championship. And then after the match, Priest attempts to cash in, only to be met by CM Punk. Roman Reigns beats Cody Rhodes once again. Also, Matt, you asked last week how we were able to keep my 5-year-old niece up for the show. Simple. We gave her a bottle of Mountain Dew before we went in. That's all for this week. Ooh, smart. Smart, smart man. I need to really find a strategy because I'm worried that if I bring my 5-year-old, he's just going to collapse 5 minutes in and we're going to have to go home. It'd be a whole waste of time. So, okay, so caffeine and sugar. Check. Got it. Smart man. Okay. Let's see this. Okay, I don't know if there's any other patrons. If there are, no, there are, there are. I keep lying to myself and lying to you guys. I'm a terrible person. All right, let's talk to the next patron here as we, I'm trying to log in. So I'm going in, I promise. Okay, the first message up here, this is directly in Patreon. We have, let's see, Justin. Justin says he'll be in Philadelphia all weekend for WrestleMania, so I'll report back next week. Thank you, I appreciate that. You're going to be at night two. And honestly, it feels like night one has some better matchups. I hate to say it, but Pride versus Final Testament is pre-show worthy at best. That's my bathroom break match. Yeah, there hasn't been exactly a whole lot of build to this. Off, on, off. It's not, you know, not exactly an exciting match, but maybe we'll be surprised. You think Gunther retains, and on Monday Night Raw, he cuts a promo on how no man is worthy of beating him, and Brock Lesnar's music hits. I'll be in attendance for that show and would love to see the Beast return. That's really, yeah, I keep forgetting about Brock floating out there. Sadly, all signs point to Cody defeating Roman on night two. With the constant beatdowns Cody's getting week after week, it seems obvious that the underdog will be victorious, and if that happens, I'm torn on living in the moment and cheering for him and enjoying every moment with the fans. With the other fans, or walking out in disappointment. I'll let the liquor decide. That's a great one. Yeah, boy, you know, there's a lot of times in my life where I let the alcohol decide, and the alcohol always chooses a very usually regretful option, but sometimes ones that make memories, right? There's an After Dark episode for you. Finally, the only security guard who gets a pass from the Becky Rhea segment is the one who got kicked in the nuts. I know from local indie shows, and he goes by the name Joey Ace. He's the 5-star stud and is an incredible athlete. I urge any local wrestling fan to check out his work. Anyway, enjoy WrestleMania weekend. Well, thanks, Justin. So, okay, cool. So the indie shows, his name is Joey Ace. Check him out, guys, if you get the opportunity, if you're interested in the indies. Cool. Let's talk to another patron, and Kareem. Quick one, he said. The two-man power trip versus the Bloodline, Roman Reigns and The Rock. Who wins? Enjoy WrestleMania. Boy, oh boy, the two-man power trip, Rock and Austin, or rather Austin and Triple H versus Rock and Roman. Who wins? Well, if this was done when they're both in their prime, probably the two-man power trip. I mean, you forget how good those two were and how short. We got the rug pulled out underneath that two-man power trip. Triple H at the top of his game. Austin just freshly turned heel, still at the top of his game. And yeah, I think the two-man power trip wins. Oof, that's a fun one to think about. All right, let's talk to David B. He says, hey, I got to send in my mailbag here. Yes, here we are. Hope you and everybody listening are doing well and are excited for Mania. I'm assuming everybody is sending predictions in for WrestleMania, and I know I'll hear your opinions in the preview and prediction, so I'm going to send in something different. Here's my wish list for the next year of WWE leading into WrestleMania 41. Okay, I like that. Dominic gets a singles push, maybe a stint with a mid-card belt. I just think it's ridiculous. One of your hottest heels is a borderline jobber. That's a good point. You know, it is very frustrating that Dominic is not, he's treated like essentially an in-house enhancement talent, but it also is a testament to him at how much people hate him that he's able to continue getting the heat he has. I mean, typically when a heel is treated like a jobber like that, the fans just go, why even bother hating him? Because he's just going to get beat and I don't really care. But for the fans to continue to boo him at the level they boo him, that's true hatred. Even though you get your ass kicked all the time, that combination is almost impossible. All right, women's wrestlers to have more screen time to develop their characters and the tag team division taken seriously. Dave, I have to say, I'll believe it when I see it, sadly. I'm all for more time for the women. I'm all for the tag team divisions on both sides of the aisle being taken more seriously, given more time. the consistency has been the enemy of both of those. You'll see it 1 week and then it's gone for 5 weeks and you'll see it pop up and it there's no consistency there. So I have my doubts on that. The Rock and Solo to leave TV sometime after Mania, and when they return, they turn on Roman, and Rock reveals he's training Solo to be the next Tribal Chief so we can have Roman versus Solo in the middle of Rock-Roman leading to WrestleMania 41. There's no doubt that Solo is eventually going to turn on Roman or vice versa. Groups are created to break up. That's the only reason that they're created. They're created to break up and then make single stars out of the breakups. But Roman turning on Solo, I mean, does it happen this year? Maybe. I mean, Solo has yet to do anything significant. He was a monster in this kind of like soft-spoken heavy for Roman, and then he just started losing match after match. So I think Solo's been hurt, and taking time off will help him. Tiffany Stratton, Money in the Bank winner. I would love that. Judgment Day imploding, leading to SummerSlam. Having tension rising after losing the tag belts. Damian's cash in at PLE before Money in the Bank to subdue the tension, and then his eventual loss to cause a full-on implosion. Sorry if this is long, but one more. Cody Rhodes not to finish his damn story. Have a great week, everybody. Hope you enjoy WrestleMania. That's it right there. Okay, so thanks. Thanks, David. I think that Judgment Day, I think there's a trend here. The final straw that will break the camel's back, as I've said, will be the failed cash-in of Damian Priest. That is a perfect way because they're building to the Judgment Day breaking up. They've set the groundwork over the last several weeks. I think it's coming. And that could be the one that totally blows the whole thing up. All right, let's talk to Freeman. And he says, the excitement for the weekend is overwhelming. I can't wait to see what happens. And I have a lot to write about, but trying to keep it short. Yes, please. Thank you. I appreciate that. We've got a couple more emails after this. So I appreciate that. First, can Priest use Money in the Bank on the tag titles? We all see Judgment Day losing the titles here, but with tension in the group rising, if they are all told they need gold to be in the Judgment Day and lose the tag titles, then it would make more sense for them to keep the contract or to use the contract to keep his and Balor's place in the Judgment Day secure while others are forced to move on. Maybe we see a cash in on Awesome Truth at Backlash. I think you're overthinking it a little bit because the cash in could, in theory, be used for the tag titles. It could be used for any championship in WWE, and it would actually be something that has never been unprecedented. WWE loves their first ever this, first ever that. But to me, Damian Priest, I think, would be, as a character, he would be kind of done dirty if they did that, because to me, Damian Priest is ready to move to that next level, whether it's as Intercontinental Champion, which I'd love, or if it is in the world title picture. Tag titles feel a little bit beneath him right now. It's kind of like been there, done that. Priest has felt like a breakout star, and I think he's ready to move on to the next level. With Judgment Day's tensions rising, it seems clear they are moving Dirty Dom closer to Legado del Fantasma. I like the move. It adds to the character, but what do you do with Rhea's and Dom's relationship, which has been magic to watch? I've seen suggestions that Dom gets caught cheating on Rhea with Electra Lopez, causing the move and an instant feud between Rhea and Electra, which would turn Rhea babyface in the process. But personally, I feel Rhea is above her in terms of matchmaking. What are your thoughts? I don't need to see Rhea in any kind of love triangle. I mean, having Dom cheat on Rhea, that's actually not a bad idea because it does continue to put heat on Dom for being a slimy, sleazy, you know, SOB. Rhea's already a babyface, so turning her babyface, she's already there, you know, even though she's involved in the Judgment Day. She gets cheered. She's a babyface in a heel group, kind of like Sami Zayn was in the Bloodline last year. So, but I like that where Dom defects but cheats on cheats on Rhea Ripley with Electra Lopez. That is a fun little segment to think about. But I also want the focus to be on Rhea's dominant victory. I don't need it to necessarily be on this the side story. And in closing on this topic, I will say Rhea and Dom's relationship doesn't feel as hot as it did. It feels like it's been not talked about much. There hasn't been a ton of focus on it. And I'm not asking for focus on it, but it feels like it's falling apart anyway organically. Lastly, and this is slightly off wrestling, but why does WWE feel the need to group people by race? New Day, all black. Damage Control puts Oral the Orientals together, and Indashir puts the Asians together, not mentioning LWO and their whole gimmick. Then Naomi, Bianca, and Jade. And rather than putting Bayley in the mix, which would make narrative sense, they put another black woman in there and grouping them by race again. This seems very common in American media. So I was wondering if all the others saw this as well. Seems like race mixing is taboo on American TV and especially in WWE. I just don't understand why. It's a heck of a question, a loaded question, one that I'm going to try to stay on topic with. Now, there's no doubt about it, and I will acknowledge this, that you know, there has been instances of racism in WWE in decades past, not recently, specifically when Vince was in charge many, many, many years ago. Again, not in the early 2000s and, you know, not during its heyday, but more of the early wrestling days where, you know, African-Americans had a tough time breaking into the industry and that kind of thing. But it is, I wouldn't call it racist today, you know, like to say that it's racist to put the races together. It's not racist, although that's a word that people love to throw around and accuse each other of as if it's holds any weight anymore. I mean, calling somebody racist, it doesn't carry any weight anymore because everybody just uses it. But I wouldn't actually say it's racist. Racist means you discriminate against somebody based on just how they look. To me, they're just grouping people of similar ethnic backgrounds and races together. So I know some people, it's racist when they do that. No, that's not what racist means. They're grouping just similar ethnicities together. Not racist, but it also is very common. Like you said, it's not taboo. I would say it's taboo. It's just a pattern. Now, why do they do that? Well, in real life, this is just reality. People of similar backgrounds and ethnicities tend to gravitate towards each other and be friends. And there's, when people get married and date, typically, of course, not all the time. We know that there's a ton of interracial couples in the United States and very successful ones and all of that. Yeah, of course. But typically, by the numbers, by stats, raw data, typically people do date and marry within their own race. Typically, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the way it is, you know? And yes, there are a lot of interracial couples, but majoritively, people date and marry within their own ethnicity. So it's not that they're really not, they're actually almost mimicking what real life is like. But I would also agree that it would be nice to see kind of a mix every once in a while. And it is a weird topic to talk about because it's like, well, what's wrong about this? Is there anything wrong about this? Or is it just simply an observation that WWE puts people that are, oh, all the black people. Oh, here we go with Bobby Lashley and Street Profits. They're all black. You got Jade and Naomi and Bianca, all three black women. And then you've got, of course, the Orientals, right? The Asian women with Dakota Kai, Io Sky. Or I'm sorry, not Dakota Kai, but Io Sky, Asuka, and Kairi Sane all together. You know, so there it is. It's a pattern. It's not by accident. But again, I wouldn't say it's racist. It's just that's how they've grouped them together. And there is some truth outside of wrestling in real life that would support the narrative that, okay, yeah, they typically are, you know, they do have, you know, typically your friends are in your same race, right? Or a lot of your friends are in mimic your ethnicity or race. So they're not, it's not that they're doing something unprecedented, but I would agree that it's just kind of like, well, you know, a little bit of mix would be nice once in a while. I would agree. It's a weird topic, right? Because I don't know what the objective is here. It's weird. It's weird in the sense that they just always seem to do it, you know, always. So, all right, let's get to a couple more and then we'll call it a night. Let's talk to Andy Mackey. And yes, I gave you your shout out. I thought it was an email. although didn't you email me? I think you did. So let's take a look at that. And yeah, Andy. So you said, let's see here. I emailed you about a month ago getting me back into wrestling for the first time since 2004 and still absolutely loving it. My daughter is enjoying and loving it as much as I did. I'm even letting her stay up and watch WrestleMania both nights with me as well. We're in the UK. Well, cool. Hell, I even went out and bought us Cody Rhodes t-shirts to wear. I'll send the picture across the email. I know you love his dog. Yeah, please don't do that. I mean, I don't want to. I'm saying that sarcastically. That would be cool to see you guys. It's always fun to see like what the fans look like. I should say fans. Listeners. You guys aren't really fans. It feels weird to say fans of the show. Listeners of the show is more appropriate. Unfortunately, over here in the UK, the weekly coverage of Raw and SmackDown isn't what it was back in the 90s and 2000s. It isn't shown on Sky Sports anymore. It's on a separate channel called TNT Sports, which is unfortunately an additional £20 a month, which is a lot on top of paying for Sky Sports as well. So we are getting our Raw and SmackDown viewings through WWE's YouTube channel, which does a great job of condensing it down. But I still miss the intros and watching the show in full, but it's better than nothing. Yeah, that's kind of crappy, I have to say. You know, like, WWE, for all of their globalization, can't come up with some kind of agreement with Sky Sports or, you know, that's kind of unfortunate. I remember Sky Sports. That was the big channel for you guys. But so I feel fortunate to be in the United States where it's kind of like I can get it in like four different places. I go on Hulu, I can get it. You know, YouTube, obviously, we all get it. USA Network, soon to be Netflix. But when they go to Netflix, that should help, right? I would think. Okay, I showed her the footage from Raw at the end of Cody getting bloodied up, and I couldn't believe how horrified she was. I think I kind of took it for granted when I was younger watching the Attitude Era, seeing wrestlers get bloodied as it happened so frequently, but the actual segment was fantastic and enthralling to watch, even though it was our favorite wrestler. I did have to say to her, though, I'm sure Cody will get his get him back at WrestleMania. You gotta be a dad, right? You gotta make sure that they're not too sad about it. So that's just being a good dad. Finally, I think to see to The Rock in this way was quite alarming. If you cast back your mind back, you never saw this side to The Rock back in the 90s and 2000s. He's heel times as Rocky Maivia, then the corporate Rock, then Hollywood Rock. It was him being heel, but I don't think I ever saw him being this sadistic and graphic. Thanks for the fantastic shows. I really enjoyed listening to all of them. Thanks, Andy. That's what I'm saying. The Rock is an evolved version of a corporate heel Hollywood Rock. Like, he's not doing exactly what he did back in the 90s and 2000s. He's not trying to mimic the 2003 version of Hollywood Rock. The music may be partly the same, which is a blast. His entrances just keep getting better. He has the same throwback vests and the sunglasses and the Gucci shoes. It's all kind of a very nostalgic feel, and we all love it. As The Rock says, sit back and enjoy the ride The Rock has taken you on. It's so true. But yeah, the sadistic part of The Rock that we didn't actually get to see this part. I would agree. This is an evolution of a heel Rock character. So he didn't just mirror what he did. He evolved. And that is so important in pro wrestling to continue to stay relevant and feel fresh. So I would agree. Yeah, I think that's a good point to make, that this sadistic part of The Rock is something we didn't get to see even when he was a heel for so many years, 20 years ago. More than 20. So thanks, Andy. All right. Let's see. We got a couple more. Wrap it up. I think one more is Alex. Alex, the French guy. Let's wrap it up. He says, stop simping too much on Rhea Ripley. I said earlier that Rhea knows what she's doing. She should be appreciated for her gimmick and ability as a wrestler, not booty wise. You guys simping over her makes me want to slap you in the face. She starts to get on my nerves with mommy's always on top. Okay, we get it. But WWE is to blame here. The best program was to have her against Bianca Belair, the best women's wrestler in the industry. Bye, guys. Yeah, Alex, listen. Okay. Nothing like ending on that note. Rhea Ripley, yeah, creative is partly responsible, but like Rhea Ripley still has some agency over what she wears and does on the ring and does, especially on house shows. House shows, there's really no script other than, hey, you're going over, you're winning, you're winning, you're winning, you're losing. Rhea Ripley does a lot of things off script, or rather on untelevised shows that are of her own volition. But yes, here's the thing. I agree with you in principle, Alex. I want to just care about her gimmick and her ability as a wrestler and her promo ability and her mission and her character. Those are the things I want to care about. But then at the same time, she's saying, well, look at my ass. Oh, look at my front side, right? Oh, mommy's always on top. And she's always got this sexual vibe and the way she says things. So it's like, yeah, I want to, but then she's saying, well, no, also, I'm very sexual. Look at these things. And it's like, well, no. You don't get to have it both ways. And don't tell me, well, don't focus on that. No. Don't do it if you don't want us to focus on it. Again, as I've said, the sin of today's culture worldwide, I think, is noticing things that people say that they and do publicly that when you notice them, you're vilified for noticing things that people do publicly. I reject that. I reject that crap. Like you can't do something publicly and then not expect people to notice. And when they take notice and criticize things you've done publicly, suddenly those are the people that are villains because they noticed. No, that's not how this works. That's not how this works. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do things like being sexualizing your character, which you are overtly doing, and then also say, well, don't focus on that. I'll do those things, but don't focus on that. Care about my character. No, care about my wrestling ability. Hey, I want to, but when you sexualize yourself willingly, stop. I mean, like you don't get to have it both ways. You just don't. I'm not simping over anybody. I'm just observing what I'm seeing. I'm observing Rhea and others. Rhea is just the face of this, and others who are just simply, I think, taking women's wrestling back a bit. They're doing the very things that put the women in the partly. Look, the company is responsible for a lot. The company is responsible for a lot of the mishandling of the women, but also the women being sexualized, the women did voluntarily. Like, no one's got an anchor to your ass. Everything is done voluntarily. No one's actually forcing you to do anything. So the women are doing some of the very things that brought them down in the first place. And somehow calling that women's empowerment. How is it empowering to have a male, predominantly male audience look at you as a sex object? Tell me exactly how that's empowering again. It's not. So to me, Rhea Ripley is more intriguing when, look, if you are an attractive woman and you are in good shape, which 99%, all of the women have to be in good shape, right? Almost all of them outside of, you know, certain people. That have, and yes, I'm talking about Nia Jax, but she's not in shape. She's not, I don't think, she doesn't look like the rest of the women, but she has turned that into a positive for her character. But if you are a very attractive woman, that should be a byproduct of just you on TV. It shouldn't be something that you use to further your character, unless you're a heel and talking about how beautiful you are. But there's a difference between calling yourself beautiful and the most beautiful woman in WWE, which that gimmick's been used before, and overtly sexualizing yourself. Again, this isn't the Attitude Era, okay? You know, and also, it's a predominantly male audience, as I've said. It's meant for male consumption. It still is to this day. Yes, it's PG, but the core audience is still men. Men haven't changed in the last 20 years. Men are still the same way, wired the same way. So if you want us to respect women's wrestling and you want us to continue to push them forward, which the men are predominantly responsible for because we are the core audience, then make sure we take you seriously by caring about the things that aren't the things that got you in trouble in the first place. Okay? I can't say it any clearer. It's not simping. I mean, like, we are trying to push them forward. While at the same time, the people that are supporting, oh, who cares? She's just, no. You may not care or pretend not to care about the women who are just overtly showing off their bodies, which has nothing to do with wrestling, nothing to do with character development, nothing to do with promo ability, nothing to do with in-ring. It's simply just getting likes and clicks all over social media and now at house shows, even on air, on camera now, on Raw and SmackDown, you're seeing hints of it here and there. And there's nothing wrong with beautiful women. I don't want them wearing potato sacks, but I also don't want them using their sexuality as a part of their character unless they understand that, hey, okay, if the men want to, if the men want to just simp at me and look at me as a sex object, then I guess that's what I'm going to be. But if that's not your goal, then don't do the things that will make men think of you that way. So, hey, I mean, that's all I got to say about that, as a Stone Cold would say. All right. So, All right, that'll do it for me tonight, guys. Fun way to end the show. I know that there's a ton of voicemails. I didn't get to them. I'll try to get to them at some point, but maybe, maybe not. I can't promise anything, as we have a jam-packed week of wrestling audio. And again, I am talking with Anthony in the next day or two. Maybe I'll attach the voicemails to the back of that or something. Yeah. So that'll do it for me tonight, guys. I appreciate all of your support. Consider going to Patreon. Consider going to Apple Podcasts. Get yourself a 1 week free subscription. Get everything ad free for WrestleMania week. And take care. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app, so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.